Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The text for today is from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Today is an awkward day in the church, as January 1st is the eighth day of Christmas. And as you know, God commanded circumcision. As we read in Genesis 17:12, for the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. And this is repeated in Leviticus. On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. This often leads to some rather interesting discussions with smaller children who ask, what's that? That's what I mean by awkward day. Interestingly enough, circumcision was the only mark permitted on the flesh of a free Jew. Any other marks, like tattoos or piercings, were signs of bondage and slavery. Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant between God and His chosen people. The ritual of waiting to name the boy is added by Jewish tradition. So on the eighth day, Joseph seeks to fulfill his obligation to the law and then names his adopted son Jesus as the angel had told him, thus being faithful to the word of God. Eighth day is kind of an important day in the scriptures when you're reading it, for the eighth day is a sign of eternity from the Old Testament and for us in the new creation, of the new creation in the New Testament, the day of the resurrection. And so Jesus first shed his blood on the eighth day at the Brit Mila, not the Sabbath, the seventh day, the day of rest, or the rabbinical speaking at 30 years of age. No, God commanded the eighth day because the covenant was never about our choice, but about God's choosing. Now in Jesus the Christ, the covenant with Abraham to be a blessing to all families on the earth or of the earth is fulfilled. Jesus' circumcision fulfills for all the old covenant. And we know that the new covenant is established with a different type of circumcision, one not made with human hands, as St. Paul tells us, one that requires only the blood of Jesus and not our own, which we know is the sacrament of holy baptism. Thus, even our rationalistic Christian friends need to see that infant baptism is proper, since for the Israelites, circumcision was performed on the eighth day after birth. There was no waiting for the child to decide, hey, Mom and Dad, I've come to faith in Jesus. Can Dad circumcise me today? Right? The epitome to the formula of Concord, and I know you all aren't nerdy like me and sit around and read the Book of Concord, but we had to do this in seminary, and it wasn't just for seminary. It's supposed to be read all the time. But the epitome to the formula of Concord makes this very clear as it speaks against the erroneous articles of the Anabaptist. Now, when I speak of Anabaptist here, I want you to think of them a little broader than the technical term. The technical term would fall under the Moravians and the Mennonites and so on, right? But this is dealing with all those who rejected infant baptism. This is what our confessions say, and it's a pretty long list. And I didn't go for the whole thing, but I thought this was kind of interesting to hear. The Anabaptists are divided among themselves into many factions because one fights for more errors. Did you catch that? One fights for more errors and the other for less. However, they all in common profess the sort of doctrine that cannot be tolerated or allowed in the church, in the commonwealth, and in secular government or at home. Articles that cannot be tolerated in the church. 1. Christ did not receive his body and blood from the Virgin Mary, but brought them with him from heaven. If you believe that Jesus is not true man, we can't tolerate that. 2. Christ is not true God, but is only superior to other saints because he, has more gifts of the Holy Spirit than any other holy man. So if you don't believe Jesus is also true God, we can't tolerate that. 3, our righteousness before God stands not on the sole merit of Christ alone, but in renewal and therefore in our own godliness in which we walk. This is based in great part on one's own special self-chosen spirituality. In fact, it is nothing other than a new kind of monasticism. Right? When we try to think ourselves holier than others. 4, children who are not baptized are not sinners before God, but righteous and innocent in their innocence because they have not yet gained the use of their reason. Children are saved without baptism. According to their assertion, children do not need baptism. Therefore, they reject the entire teaching about original sin and what belongs to it. 5, children are not to be baptized until they have gained the use of their reason and can confess their faith themselves. Back to my point earlier. Father, I'm ready. Break out the knife. 6, the children of Christians, because they have been born of Christians and believing parents, are not holy and children of God even without and before baptism. And for this reason, they do not attach much importance to baptism of children or encourage it, contrary to the clear words of God's promise, which applies only to those who keep his covenant and do not despise it. Genesis 17, Acts chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 are all quoted here then in reference to this statement. You see, we Lutherans reject any teaching that regards children as innocent from conception. We are conceived like David, sinful and unclean. Colossians puts it this way, St. Paul writes, in him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of flesh, by a circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power and working of God, who raised him from the dead. God commanded the observance of the eighth day, and Mary and Joseph, being devout in their faith, adhered to God's word. Isn't it amazing how this eight-day-old baby Jesus is able to fulfill the law for us as the lawgiver, God himself? He subjects himself to the law that we might receive the full rights as sons. This name Jesus, now you've heard me rant on this for years, and I'm not going to rant on it today, but the name Jesus is itself a confession as it quickly explains why he was born. Yeshua in the Greek, Joshua in the Hebrew, Jesus in the English kind of Greek, and then Jesus, all mean Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. This is what Jesus, the Lamb of God, does. He comes to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the true Israelite, the perfect Jew, who alone has kept the law of God perfectly for all of us. He is the God-man, the Son of the Covenant, the only one who could have passed through the animals when God made the original covenant with Abraham. You remember how that was struck, right? They laid out the animals, cut them in half. Abraham's getting ready to strike a covenant with God, and God puts him into a deep sleep. And a fire pot passes through the animal. The purpose for this was to symbolize and state very clearly, if I break my end of the deal, the fate of these animals that are sliced in half is the fate that I deserve. God does not allow Abraham to pass through. Thanks be to God. If Abraham passes through, he seals our damnation because we don't keep the covenant. But God does. His side is perfect. This circumcision continues our Lord's then humiliation. He who knew no sin become sin for us. He takes on that which we do, which he does not even need. As the Word that was in the beginning, that became flesh to dwell among his people, subjects himself to the law that he is above, his own law, as the shedding of his precious blood. And this bleeding points us forward to the day when his blood is poured out for the world on a Roman cross. This 8-day-old infant is the only way to save his people from their sins. This Jesus, the Lamb of God, has come to be sacrificed. And you get a little foreshadowing even here in the rite of circumcision with Abraham and Isaac. As Isaac was about to put the knife to his son and sacrifice him, it was the fathers who circumcised their children. It was not a big temple production in those days. So Joseph would have circumcised Jesus himself at home. And I don't think they made kits for that back then. This is the only one whose blood can atone for our sins and for the sins of all people. The very Son of God, whose name is Yahweh Saves. There is only one who could and does shed his blood for all the sins of the world. And on the third day, he rises from the dead. And sin had no claim over him. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, is here, a very little baby, and yet our mighty Savior. And while sin has no claim over him, all who are joined to him in faith, sin has no claim over us either. For our sins have been redeemed. So circumcision was a mark of a relationship God had with the people of Israel, that he would be their God and they would be his people. Jesus, the Son of God, came to fulfill what it means to be a child of God by his perfect life, being ever faithful to his Father's will. We enter this new covenant and become God's people through our union to Jesus the Christ, through his means of grace, the Word of God, and the sacraments. In his circumcision, our hearts are now circumcised through water and word in baptism, and we are joined to all Jesus is for us. Baptized into his death, we die and rise in Jesus' resurrection. No longer do we need circumcision to be God's people, for Jesus has fulfilled that. Now we have life-giving water joined to God's word and promise. We, through God-given faith, now live in Jesus. At his table, our Lord Jesus pours out his lifeblood for us, and his body and blood are food for our very forgiveness, as we see it foreshadowed in his very birth as he's placed into a feed box and becomes the food of our salvation. As we begin the year of our Lord 2023, we most likely have mixed emotions. There's hope and there's anxiety. There's grief and despair. There's joy and there's happiness. As our minds are filled with so many questions, will our health hold out? Will our politicians ever get along to do what is best for the country instead of what's best for their pockets or party? Will I still have a job? Will there be another terrorist attack in the States? Will our stock market ever go back the other direction? Or will we just keep killing ourselves as people in our hometowns, in our churches, in our schools, in our movie theaters, in the streets, in the homes? And I have to say, while I can say they still do abortions, this is the first new year that we begin where that is no longer the law of the land. God be praised for that. I wrote a lot on that in the newsletter, if you're interested in reading that. And while I can't answer all of these questions with any degree of certainty, I can point you to Jesus. For he alone brings peace into this chaotic life that we have, that is caused by the sin that we have and the sins of, that others have in this world that are brought to us. And when the world, our flesh, and the devil have you on the ropes, think of this beautiful little sentence that sometimes makes for awkward conversations. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. For here in this baby Jesus, who is humbling himself, allowing his blood to be shed to fulfill the law of God for us, so with hope, we can face all the challenges and opportunities that we might have coming during the year of our Lord 2023. Should his return continue to be delayed? That was my point last night as everybody was saying Happy New Year. Not yet. The Lord could come and then it would be truly a happy new, but no more years. You see? For in Jesus alone we have a peace that passes all understanding. And know that Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is not going to change things up on you. So never forget, in this 8-day-old babe named Jesus is all we need no matter what this year offers to us. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Therefore, we live in Jesus now, and then one day, when we die or our Lord Jesus returns, we shall have nothing to fear, for we shall live with him for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.